for my new cookbook. Matt's Bedtime Grillin'. How you can cook with a grill in your PJs. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Wednesday.
Ugh. That's a bad image in my head after eating that delicious lunch we had.
We had a nice lunch here. We had a little staff get-together, Jennifer's birthday. One of my favorite human beings on the planet, Representative Bill Luther, former representative, just one of my heroes. I love the guy. Got to hang out with him for a little bit and have a nice little lunch with him. And cake! Love cake. But, yeah, look for that new cookbook out in stores. Just me grilling it with the hibachi right in the bed. You know, it's just good quality eating. That's all it is. It's like everyone has the hamburger right before they go to bed, right? Everyone, right?
And to set the atmosphere properly, you need to be surrounded by TVs and yelling into a phone.
Oh, no, texting. It's tweeting. You're typing. Good to be with you today. Jeff McGilligutty-Stein is going to be joining us here in a little bit to talk about various issues. Basically, our first chance to get caught back up with him. We did the New Year's Day show, but of course, that was pre-recorded. We're going to have a lot to get to, including Michael Wolff and the DACA story there. I will say he just changed his opinion again on the thing. Now the wall's back in again. Yeah, because a wall. Yeah. But it's not going to be complete either, because there's hills and mountains and rivers. I don't know if you're aware of this. Out in nature, there's nature. Who knew? I know. We'll talk to Stein coming up here in a little bit, about a little less than a half an hour. Just a quick little two things I want to recap for yesterday's show. First of all, let's talk to the weather. Things have revised down dramatically, and I'm not going to get upset with the weather people, because the initial forecast, the models that they put forward, every model was saying we were going to get hammered. This just, it shifted off a little bit to our east, and most of the heavier snow is going to be up in the, really up in the Dakotas and North Dakota. I'm just reading off the National Weather Service. A chance of rain before 2 a.m., then snow possibly mixed with freezing rain between 2 and 5 a.m., then snow after 5 a.m. tonight. Patchy fog between 8 a.m. and 1 a.m., low around 13, south winds. Chance of precipitation 80%, little or no ice accumulation expected, snow accumulations less than a half an inch possible. So that's tonight, and this is for the Eden Prairie Metroplex, so just FYI. Thursday, snow, temperatures falling to around 7 by 5 p.m., wind chill values as low as minus 12, blustery, northwest winds. 15 to 20, gusting as high as 30, so blowing snow could be an issue. New snow accumulations, though, less than an inch possible. So combined, I'm no math whiz, but that seems like less than an inch and a half of snow.
It's still going to make for a nightmare commute, though, tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's going to be a mess. It will. And just anticipate that. But no, not nearly as heavy duty as it was before, as it was expecting, because we were looking on Monday at 8 to 10 inches.
I think my forecast I read Monday was 5 to 7, yeah, or something like
5
that.
5 to 7 feet? My God, Brett. What are you doing, man? You're part of the problem, man. Don't do that. courtesy of good old John Lindell. I miss him sometimes. It's not going to be that bad. It sounds like out to the south, going into Wisconsin, in the very southeastern part of the metro, you could have a little more down there, but for most of the Twin Cities, more of a headache than anything else. The other thing I wanted to bring up from yesterday, too, is we talked about the dog thing, the dog licensing issue. And I had multiple people come forward and say, you know, what they should do. And I agree with this wholeheartedly. If you have an actual licensed service animal, one that's gone through the training, that's actually legit, that you got the paperwork, you got the card and all that stuff, those dogs generally are trained to not go to the bathroom and make messes and growl and stuff like that. And so, you know, I think those dogs are acceptable everywhere. Any other dog, a emotional support animal or just your pet, well, first of all, it's a private business. I think they should have the ability to, and, you know, private businesses should have somewhat of an ability to tell if an animal can come on into their facility. But if they do allow it in, there's an onus on the owner to clean up the mess. And if the animal makes a mess and they don't clean it up, then they should be getting a pretty heavy fine. A $100 fine, that's a pretty good deterrent. And so, you know, it's You know, the problem here is this, is we need the service animals. The service animals are desperately needed. And you can't have a situation where people are actually starting to become belligerent towards people that have service animals just because some person who's got a teacup poodle that doesn't want to leave it at home like they should and decides to bring it out. And the dog gets into all sorts of trouble because it's just a pet they're bringing whatever they want to. Well, there should be consequences if that dog makes a mess or attacks something or scares someone or something of that nature. There should be. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. Another news story I did not get to, I wanted to get to, is the Lifetime Fitness story. If you've not heard this, this has got a lot of national news over the last few days. And that is that Lifetime Fitness here, based in Minneapolis, the metro area, they made the decision to no longer have news channels on in their facilities. Now, I have no idea. You know, they say that basically it's not good for health. It's not conducive to a healthy lifestyle to have these news channels out there. Funny, they didn't seem to have any problem with these news channels back when Obama was being hung in effigy and people were screaming about removing him from office because of Dijon mustard, or screaming we need a ninth Benghazi investigation or a fourth or fifth Clinton Foundation investigation. No, they didn't seem to have any problem with that. But now, all of a sudden, for some reason, Lifetime Fitness, which is geared towards wealthy communities, which generally run more conservative, for some reason now, the news seems a little bit, well, bad. Snowflakes. Yeah, I know where the snowflakes in the forecast ended up there, Brett. I know where that ended up. Okay, one of two things happened, and here's my guess. The first is someone went through there and realized, oh, CNN and MSNBC, oh, God, and every other non-Fox News network, oh, they're all putting out pretty bad stuff about Trump. Oh, this is going to anger the customers. And my personal politics, they override anyone else's choice. So the two options are this. One, change all news stations to Fox News. But then we really let the cat out of the bag. Oh, I'll guess what we'll do is we'll get rid of all news stations. That does it. And we'll hide behind the idea that we're making a healthy lifestyle choice. Ah, see you. I see you. The other side of it could be the same thing, only it's the customer. It's like, I come here to only watch conservative-based news. I am forced to watch MSNBC. That ruins the narrative I want to believe. Change that channel to a station that's going to tell me Trump is great. And club directors finally said, you know, I'm getting tired of this. Why don't we just turn them all off? That might be the case. Here's my one thing. Lifetime Fitness, here's the deal. We're going to pay attention, okay? We are. We're going to pay attention. And when the next Democratic president comes out, or Trump leaves office, if all of a sudden it's like, hey, why did we ever not allow TV news to be broadcast in our facilities? If you're going to be like that, well, we're going to pay attention to that, and we're going to call you out on it. It has been told to me, I'm not sure, I didn't verify this, but I have been told that the people that run Lifetime Fitness are far right-wing supporters. They support far right-wing causes. So this just to me seems like a bunch of snowflakes that basically, they are basically putting out news that tells me something that I don't want to believe. This isn't 1993 anymore. I should be able to insulate myself in a news bubble that I want to basically find the news that appeals to me. That's what my guess would be. That's just a presumption. Just taking a guessy poo. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Another story I want to make sure I mention here before I get into a national story, which it makes me laugh. Star Tribune today has put out that, hey, guess what? This Trump tax bill actually is going to raise a lot of people's taxes in Minnesota. Wow, that's a funny thing. I guess maybe we should have let someone know about that because, we could have run this story before the tax bill was passed, but for some reason we decided not to do so. And, taxes are going to go up in Minnesota. You know, I'm sorry. I get so bothered by this stuff. I do. I get so bothered by this stuff. If the Star Tribune does a horrific job of hiding their agenda. And the reality is they should have been, the same math was being put out there. We saw this. I was talking about this. I was talking about how in Minnesota, we're going to see our taxes go up because of this tax bill prior to these clowns passing the bill. But your stories, while Trump was talking about it, your story was basically of the mindset of Trump's trying to give great tax relief to everybody. And I'm like, no, it's not. He's trying to basically raise all of our taxes. But no, you had a Trump is the greatest. And now the tax bill is passed. And now that the doom and gloom is coming, most of us are going to see a tax raise. Now the Star and Tribune all of a sudden has decided to pull their head out of their cabooses and basically tell the truth, which is, oh, yeah, hey, there seems there's some numbers here that show that Minnesota, they're going to see a pretty substantial tax increase. Hey, I guess it stinks that bill passed, huh? Yeah. Thanks for nothing. Thank you for absolutely nothing, Star Tribune. But hey, you know, tell us more about a puppy dog or in a dinosaur or something of that nature. Dear Lord, let's go to Todd and Ramsey. He wanted to chime in on the Lifetime Fitness story. Welcome on in, Todd.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Always enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with you that there's probably some political motivation involved, knowing the history of Lifetime, which has been in the news a lot over the years regarding stocks, business, and so forth with the company and the ownership of the company. But I think part of the responsibility of people maybe getting too much television news, no matter which side of the political spectrum they're on, is because of the way network and cable TV always puts a banner at the bottom of the top or the top of the screen that says breaking news. Mm-hmm. And then they keep recycling the same news story all day long with these breaking news banners. And I think it's just too much human nature when you're walking through a health club. I belong to the Y, and you look up at a TV and you see a banner that says breaking news. Well, you stop to look because, you know, maybe an airplane just crashed or something, but yeah. It's the same story being recycled over and over, and it attracts people's eyes to the network, whatever network it is, but it's the same crap they're recycling. And it does get to be a nuisance after a while.
Well, and I think your point is a very good one. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate the phone call. His point is a good one, and I'm not going to disagree with it. I'm going to point out, wow, all of a sudden you turned off your news channels when Trump starts getting bad press. That's when all of a sudden you draw the line at Lifetime Fitness. And then I'm just saying this. Okay, fine. Then prove this was not political by making sure they never come back. Even if there's horrific news for a Democrat, and I know you guys don't like the Democrats over there, that you say, you know what? No, it's not. Because he's right. There is. I can buy the argument that this is not healthy. Trust me. The every freaking 5 damn minutes that toddler, that grown-up orange spray-painted baboon we have in the White House sends off a news alert for me. And I'm getting tired of it. I get it. It's not healthy necessarily. But I'll just say this. I would say this. Just show me that you're consistent. Don't make me, Lifetime Fitness, don't make me pants you clowns, okay? Don't make me do it. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Hold on. Dave in St. Paul will take your call when we do return. And the end of the voter fraud commission. Huzzah! We bequeath it ends. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Chocolate. Celeste is a true celebration. This is Colette, and we've created two themed chocolate collections for this year's football playoffs. These chocolates are the world's finest artisan chocolates with distinct, unforgettable flavors that will sweeten your team's victory and soften the sting of defeat. Having a party? Skol! Check out our football-themed chocolates. We're an approved vendor through the NFL Business Connect program. Call 651-644-3823 or visit chocolatceleste.com.
I've discovered the true test of a vehicle is the road trip. This summer, I bought a new vehicle from Rudy Luther Toyota and immediately took it out on the road to DC and South Carolina. If you drive for 10 hours and you're not tired, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. When you're getting exceptional gas mileage with fewer stops, it tells you a lot about Toyotas. And when you feel safe, even when you're out of your comfort zone, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. It's my highest recommendation. Go to Rudy Luther Toyota and see for yourself at 394 and 169.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by Todd Colad. Oh, that's right. You can sponsor the station if you so like. It's cool. It's what all the cool kids do. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. You can sponsor the station. We do appreciate it. Find out more information by giving us a call. Todd wants to make sure we promote Women's March Minnesota presenting Hear Our Voice. Now, once again, I want to make sure I reiterate, this is not a march. This is happening on Sunday, January 21st from 3:30 to 7 p.m. over at the Union Depot in St. Paul. Tickets are available. You can go to womensmarchmn.com, womensmarchmn.com for more information. And thanks once again, Todd, for sponsoring the station. 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885 for more information. Dave is in St. Paul, has been holding. Welcome on in, Dave.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. It's just, you know, and my comment about this lifetime thing is, what are they going to ban cell phones next and iPads and, you know, if you're working out, you can't have any of those devices on? Are they going to monitor your, to make sure you're living a healthy lifestyle? Or, you know, I mean, what if that is the only time that you get off work and you can watch a news channel, or an, I don't care which channel, whether it be Fox News or CNN or whatever, who are they to say what is a healthy lifestyle for me?
Well, and that was...
To, yeah, I mean, I just... That's where it's going a little too far for me.
Well, and you know, Dave, and I'm going to let you go there. It sounds a little windy out there where you're at. Take care of yourself. One of the first things that crossed my mind. I was like, well, what if I want the news? What if I'm enjoying watching the demise of Donald Trump on CNN? You know, I think that's part of the problem, too. Is that it's an interesting discussion. But if you truly do believe this, then just do me a favor. The minute all of a sudden, don't be all of a sudden just like, what, there's bad news for the Democrats? Oh, get all the TVs back on again immediately. Don't be like that. Like I said, don't make me come pants, you clowns, okay? Don't make me do it.
So you think they could see the light as soon as it's 2020 with a new president? Oh, I guess maybe we'll bring the TVs back now.
Oh, I have a strong feeling. Hey, guess what? Due to customer demand, we need to bring the news channels back. Like I said, they didn't have any problem with this when Obama was being, you know, hung in effigy across the country, or when Bundy was putting targets on federal agents' heads, or, you know, any of that stuff. Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. None of that stuff. None of, you didn't have any problem with it then. But now all of a sudden, because you got a buffoon in the White House, all of a sudden, I don't like the fact that we are looking like idiots, so let's turn these off. 952-946. I have no idea why they're Southern. I do declare. I've got the vapors. Give me some pecan pie and a mint julep immediately so I can relax.
Must be based out of Biloxi, Mississippi or something.
That's it. Hello, Biloxi. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205. So, okay. Let's just run the timeline, shall we? I love this. This is one of my favorite stories already this year. And it goes back to last year. Early last year, Donald Trump, when confronted with the fact that he lost the popular vote by 3 million, claimed 3 million people all voted illegally, and they all voted for Hillary Clinton. And I have evidence that that happened. Now, he said this. Not only did he say this, Sean Spicer said, I've seen the evidence, and it's pretty overwhelming. As a matter of fact, let me read. This is from Fox News. From Nazi Stephen Miller. I mean, I think that's how you pronounce the first name. Nazi Stephen Miller. Yeah, it's hard to presume. I think there's a silent N-A-Z-I there at the front. So I'll just go with that. Nazi Stephen Miller. All right. The White House has provided enormous evidence with respect to voter fraud, with respect to people being registered in more than one state. This morning on this show is not the venue for me to lay out all the evidence, but I can tell you voter fraud is a serious problem in this country. So, not only that, Chris Kobach, this is the anti-voting czar, the former Secretary of State for Kansas. He's an absolute jackass. He says he had, this is a story from September 8th of 2017. September 8th. I have proof of voter fraud in New Hampshire. So they all said this. They all said this because they had to make Trump feel better about the fact that he did not win the popular vote, that 3 million more people, just of all the people that voted, let alone the 110 million people that didn't even vote that were registered to vote. But of the people that actually voted, he came in second. He won the Electoral College, but he came in second. He was the second most popular person that election, period. End of story, end of discussion. His fragile ego couldn't take it. Plus the fact that even with the gerrymandered districts, the money advantage, the Russian help, the Russian meddling that was going on in this election, even with the money advantage, all that stuff that was going on with these elections, the reality is that last election showed the Republicans that even their system cannot win every time. And it's borderline that, I mean, and Trump is, they already realize Trump is going to poison the water hole. And it already has. Daryl Issa has announced he's not going to retire today. That takes it up to what, 34 Republicans have announced from the Congress are going to retire? 34. Because Republicans can't stand losing. If it looks like they're for sure going to go out, they're not going to win, they'll retire and act like they're the champion hero. Look at me. I didn't go out a loser. I went out a winner. But they all realize the tide is turning. The reality of the voter fraud panel was they needed to go out there under the guise of investigating voter fraud and basically find ways to disenfranchise voters across the country. To go on out there to tell minority voters, particularly Black and Latino voters, you can't vote. To go and tell younger voters, you can't vote. As a matter of fact, I mean, people were throwing around the idea of going back to the standard of white landowners being the only ones that can vote. I mean, this is something the Republicans were putting out there. When the voting commission was being formed, people behind these conservative think tanks, like the Heritage Foundation and Cato Institute and stuff like that, the Koch brothers, they were furious that Democrats were being included, even though they didn't, they thought that they could basically just put a bunch of Republicans on this committee, that no one would ever ask any questions. They could close the doors, make the decisions, and do that. And they don't understand how this country works. They don't understand that there are rules to that, that you can't just force your way. And someone clearly looked at Kobach, and probably Kobach understood that he can't just do this with a bunch of Republicans. So they brought in a handful of Democrats, mainly the Secretaries of State of Maine, New Hampshire, a few other states. This committee then, if you remember, sequestered, they wanted everyone to send in their voter data rolls, to which we did not do that here in Minnesota, but 20 20 states did at least send over partially voter rolls to this committee. In the same people who are furious or angry about the idea of a voter, a public database of people in this country, are all cheering on, send my voter information over to those guys. And of course, it was conservative states where Republican governors and secretaries of state were handing over their voter data rolls, and they got all this information. All these people, once again, I want to reiterate, Trump himself, Stephen Miller, Chris Kobach, Sean Spicer, all of them said, we've got proof that this happened, that this is, we have evidence this happened, we've convened a voting committee. Well, the Democrats, these handful of Democrats who were on the committee, were basically kind of flummoxed when they were not included in meetings or in memos or in email chains. And the Democrats on the voter commission had to sue the voter commission to get the basic information of the voter commission. They had to put a Freedom of Information Act request in for their own committee. And they didn't want to. And the Republicans didn't want to give it. And they fought that. They did not want to give the Democratic members of this committee the emails and stuff, which were saying, we got to stop black people from voting. We have to stop Latinos from voting. They didn't want the Democrats to see that. So the Democrats, in one of the more ludicrous elements I've ever seen, Democrats on the committee had to sue via Freedom of Information Act to get documents on the committee that they are on. They lost. The Republicans lost. The Democrats had a right to see these, and immediately what did the Republicans do? They shut down the committee to prevent the Democrats on the committee from seeing what exactly they had been talking about and planning. They then tried to move this whole committee over to Homeland Security, which Homeland Security looked and said, well, what are your findings? And the Republicans all said, we've got tons of findings. We'll send you the findings. Funny story. Funny story. They finally had to admit they had not found any evidence of voter fraud. Now, reminder, Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, Chris Kobach, Sean Spicer all said they had seen the evidence. It's tons of evidence. This has gone on. Now they all admit they were all lying. There was no evidence of voter fraud, that Trump lost 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton in the popular vote. Then the Homeland Security people had to look at them and say, you can't just take 20 states worth of databases and fold that into Homeland Security. We even know you can't do that. And that's Trump's Homeland Security. So now they say they're going to tear up and rip up all the databases from the 20 states they got. Of course, they're not going to do that. I guarantee you, the RNC's got a copy of those right now. The Trump re-election campaign's got a copy of those right now. The Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, the Koch brothers, Sheldon Adelson, the Mercer family, they all got copies of that. I guarantee it. They all have copies, and they're never going to give them up because now they got your data. Fools. Absolute fools. Good luck with all that. When we do return, Jeffrey McGillicuddy Stein is in. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 43. Tonight, rain and snow with a low around 11. Thursday, about 2 to 4 inches of snow with a temperature dropping to about 5. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 7. Flowery Hill Meats is your neighborhood full-service butcher shop. They work directly with family farmers and offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, poultry, and much more. Flowery Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Find more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
The progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, Lowry Hill Meats, that full-service butcher shop over on 1934 Hennepin Avenue. Fantastic beef, lamb, poultry. Stop on by for the sausages. They're made fresh in-house weekly. 40 rotating recipes. A fantastic place. It is Lowry Hill Meats, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.org is the public service show that he is part of as well. TotallyIowa.com is the website you can find his books. IowaWatch.org is his public service show. IowaWatch.org, the public service show down in Iowa. And of course, he's joining us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And a reminder to everyone out there, Jeff, you got a brand new book coming out later on this month.
I do, and if I just didn't have so darn many websites, it'd be easier to figure out, wouldn't it? I have a book about a famous Iowa children's program called The Floppy Show, and it is available. It'll be available later this week at thefloppyshow.com, or you can pre-order at Common Good Books because the drop date is the 22nd.
All right, so you pre-order it right now. Common Good Books in St. Paul is where you need to go. You and I, of course, we did the New Year's Day show as usual, but we've got a lot of things to catch up with. Michael Wolff, I've heard a lot of people, he's pretentious, he's arrogant, he's kind of a jerk himself, but the reality is, Jeff, if you or I walked into the White House and said, I would like to write a book about you, we would never be let in. The reason why Michael Wolff was given this kind of access to the White House is because he is somewhat like those guys, pretentious, arrogant, a bit of a jerk. And it's one of the reasons why I think so many of those people shared intimate stories with the guy about what was going on, which is now in fire and fury.
The thing is, as you described him, I did not know how you were going to ask the question, Matt, but as you described him, I thought to myself, well, that sounds like the occupant of the office.
Yes.
And it's one of the key things you do in communications control is if you cannot dispute the message, you attack the messenger. And notice all of the talk about the messenger.
Yes.
There is not as much talk about the message. Now, the White House handled this uniquely and badly at the same time. And here's what I mean.
Okay.
When was the last time a sitting president issued a formal statement attacking an individual and their work in this way? I would suggest it is a lowering of the office of the president to do that. I get that this president did not like what's in the book. I get that it may be a pack of lies. I'll even go that far with you. But is it an official statement from the president? Is that what's necessary? I don't believe so. I think this should have been handled at a very different level because it is taking the office of the president and putting it akin to a gutter street fight. And I just don't know that that is appropriate.
Well, and let me make sure I clarify here. I actually 100% believe this book because he's the kind of guy, as a white guy, I have gone into meetings with people, which are a bunch of white guys, and all of a sudden the one guy you don't think is racist all of a sudden starts saying racist things because he thinks he's in a safe crowd. That's exactly what I think happened. And I'm not saying Michael Wolff is discredited. As a matter of fact, it's a pretty stupid idea to go publish a book like this. I mean, if it's lies, because you're dead to rights. I think it's true. It borders on the comical. The 6:30 p.m. bedtime cheeseburgers. That's bizarre. But there are two points in the book, in his book, that really kind of resonated with me. One kind of scared me. That was the description of Sam Nunberg trying to teach Trump the Constitution. By the time he got to the Fourth Amendment, Trump had completely lost interest and was like a six-year-old who's lost interest, playing with his lip and rolling his eyes back in his head, which was just, that's just bizarre to think about a 70-year-old man doing that. The other one is the quote from Bannon that basically says, when that Trump Tower meeting was over with Junior and Manafort and Kushner, there's no doubt in his mind that Junior walked the Russians right up to Trump's office in Trump Tower. There's no way in the world that Trump Jr. would not have done that. And this is, once again, more of the closing circle of Russia around Trump.
And again, when I said a moment ago, I'm even willing to believe it's a pack of lies. I was just to make the point. I don't care what's in the book. I don't think an official statement by the president was warranted. Now, getting down to the specifics you mentioned. One of the things that as a reporter, and this is what Wolf is doing, he's acting as a reporter. It just so happens the reporting is in a book as opposed to on a radio station. One of the things you want to do is to get your source to feel so comfortable that they say things that they don't realize they're saying. It is one of the things that you have to worry about when you're doing a radio program or anything else, is that you're so comfortable that, you know, certain words slip out that shouldn't. And we always have to be careful about that when we're on a live mic. But when I'm interviewing somebody who is not a friend, if you will, if I make them comfortable, they're going to say more. And there is no doubt that when a guy gets access to the White House, as apparently Wolf did, probably approved by Bannon, Bannon has the temperament to be perhaps a bit more self-important. I mean, you just see how it all happens. And for the president to say, I did not sit down with him about the book. That, as a lawyer, I would tell you, is legal language. Because Wolf says, well, we talked, but he probably didn't even think it was for the book. Anytime you're talking to a reporter, it's on the record. I don't have to tell you it's for a book or not for a book. I know that you've asked me to be on your program, which I appreciate because it's going to be on this radio station. But if you had, for example, a weekend best of program and you used it, you don't have to tell me that in advance. If you wanted to use some of these quotes in a blog post, you don't have to tell me that. I'm talking as a guest to you as a host and a journalist. And I can't then say, well, I didn't know you were going to use it in this way or that way. And the thing that's typical Trump is to deny he'd ever met the guy and then to skin it down a little bit to, well, I never talked with him about the book. Well, again, we're shooting at the messenger as opposed to the message. And the items you point out tell us an awful lot about the palace intrigue, the divisions within it that have led to this fragmentation, and the fact that people are looking to turn in their White House ID cards as quickly as they can because thanks for the honor, we'd rather work somewhere else.
Well, and you're exactly right. Not only is there an onus on the individual who's in the room with the reporter to say, this is off the record, you then have to have the reporter saying, okay, fine, this is off the record. You have to have both of those things because it doesn't matter. And so the fact that Trump, I mean, he was on Air Force One when Trump and Trump Jr. were making the alibi for the Trump story. And I love the description of how Ivanka said she took a pill and went to bed. Jared Kushner said, I didn't have a pencil. And everyone else was in the corner watching Fargo. And it's just, it's kind of one of those things where, you don't get, that's not just Bannon. I mean, I think that there was, Wolf's my friend today. No, Wolf's my friend today. No, Wolf's my friend today. You know, kind of this pulling around the White House. And even he said the stories, like the one story between Bannon and Hope Hicks, where, you know, he got Hope Hicks's story, he got Steve Bannon's story. So then it was up to him and as many other people as he could talk to try to find the middle ground. And I think at the end, he seems very confident and standing by this work as real. And so far, there's no lawsuit saying he's libel or slander of anything. So at this point, I got to believe this is pretty true. And it's terrifying when you think about how incompetent that White House ran in that first year.
Well, one thing with regard to the lawsuit part, and then I'll get to your broader point. The president is a public figure. All of those people with high profile positions who can't wait to get their mug in front of a TV camera, those are considered public persons for libel. And in order for a lawsuit to be successful, you would have to show, the president would have to show, that this reporter acted with actual malice, which is defined in the law as reckless disregard for the truth or absolute knowledge of falsity. That is the highest standard, okay? And you're not going to be able to meet it. Now, could the president direct his team to file a lawsuit that they know has a, you know, 1 in a million chance of being successful? Sure. But the point is, you're not going to see a lawsuit. So if that's the measure, you're not going to see it. But go to the broader point. This, and how do I say this in a kind of a delicate way? I'll go and say, what if half of it's true? Okay, I know you said you believe everything in it, and I respect that. But let's just say half of it's true. Isn't that scary enough?
Oh, no, it's terrifying. it is.
So this is where, when we get down to fact-checking some of this, and they say, well, now this little thing, okay, that person wasn't here, or you've made this one little, you've got, what did I see somebody going nuts about? Well, they got the ages of one of the people wrong. Really? That's, yes, I know an age of an individual is a fundamental fact. However, if that's the best you can do, I'm not persuaded. But here's the thing that I would raise on it. How surprised are you?
Not really.
About it? Yeah, see, that's the thing. And that's why this book made a big splash in Washington. We're talking about it. Others on, you know, similar political-oriented programs are talking about it. I just wonder how much it's impacting any change in behavior in terms of, for example, voting. And here's why. The folks who are the progressives, well, they're not shocked. They just find this to be Exhibit A. The folks who are his real supporters, this is why they think he's great. So in a scary way, let's say that Mr. Wolf is exposing 100% truth. It has minimal impact at this juncture.
Well,
that audiences are so crystallized in their views.
It's number one on the bestsellers list until your book comes on out. And
I'm asking the president to disavow my book right now. I dare him to do it.
It has sold out in Republican areas incredibly fast. And I think it's where the damage is being done, I think, is the people that hear this and dismiss it, and now it's in print. And whether that has an impact, well, you know, how many Republicans are not running in 2018? I think there is a bit of an impact on that. But let's move to another issue. Axios came on out. They'd gotten his private schedule leaked. And once again, no one has disclaimed this. Yeah. And it's terrifying. I mean, the other stuff in the Wolf book is bad. The entire argument was, we can't have Hillary Clinton because what is she going to do at the 3 a.m. phone call? Trump, he doesn't show up to work until 11 after spending 3 hours watching TV and tweeting. He gets one briefing from John Kelly, the chief of staff, goes into another hour of TV and tweeting, has lunch, goes into another hour of television and tweeting, has one meeting with his personnel people, and then generally walks out of the office somewhere around 4:15 in the afternoon. He puts in at best 4 hours a day on the most complicated and nerve-wracking job on the planet. And the reality is that I think that itself is actually having a pretty large impact, because even Republicans are like, I don't mind having a bit of a buffoon in there, but I want someone, a buffoon who's going to take it seriously at least.
Well, not to sound too snarky, but would you rather he be there at the desk with the button, or would you rather him just be watching TV and drinking Diet Cokes? Because in one respect, there's less harm done if he's not in the office.
A lot of liberals have said the same exact thing, by the way. Okay.
So I concede the snarky point. But the thing about and I'm not defending this. Don't even for a moment. He has the mentality of a corporate CEO that he hires people to run the place and he just kind of is the figurehead and lords over it. I mean, that's kind of the way he can detach himself from things that go badly in business deals, because he can blame whoever was actually involved, but then take the credit. I mean, it's duplicitous, without any question. The idea that he has hired certain people and that in essence, the chief of staff runs the place. I'm not sure that I'm shocked by all of that, because he's really, to me, wanting to fulfill.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. Get back in a better signal with Jeff here. Jeff Stein joining us. When we do return, we'll talk a little bit about this. One thing I will clarify, Jeff's exactly right. He's like a corporate CEO. He's like a bad corporate CEO, because there's a lot of good corporate CEOs out there. He's like a bad one that's only looking to golf. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Now on display at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of beautiful icons and sacred art from the 19th century called Russian Sacred Art, Connecting Heaven and Earth. Liturgical music from the best Russian choirs gently accompanies your experience of these pillars of spiritual life. Open daily and with free parking, Timora is the easiest museum to get to in Minneapolis, so plan your visit today at tmora.org. That is tmora.org.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
What could be more Russian than Matryoshka, the nesting doll? I welcome you to see one of the largest collection of Matryoshka in the world, now on display at the Museum of Russian Art. A stunning range of sizes, types, and eras are represented, showing how this iconic souvenir has evolved over the last 120 years. Our thanks to Target for sponsoring this extraordinary exhibition, open daily. Find out about all our exhibitions and events at tmora.org. That is tmora.org.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal.
Stages Theater Company is dedicated to creating a space where diverse opinions, courageous dialogue, and community engagement is not only valued, but vital to our shared artistic and educational success. Stages Theater Company creates a welcoming home for all. For over 30 years, Stages has supported quality theater programming for children. Stages gives opportunities for youth to be on stage, backstage, in the audience, and in the classroom. Whether you come to see a show, enroll a young person in a workshop, or benefit from their outreach programs in the community, Stages brings art to life. Learn about Stages Theater by going to stagestheater.org and become part of the magic of live theater by taking your family to an amazing show or enrolling someone you love in an education program. Stages Theater Company operates out of the Hopkins Center for the Arts, located in Main Street in the heart of downtown Hopkins. For more information on Stages Theater, go to stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual weekly visit to talk about politics, catching up on the weeks that we were not here. Jeff, yesterday there is at least an appearance of trying to work together with the Democrats. We're at the point now where the stuff that's coming up into Congress, some Democrats are going to have to support this stuff. There is no way in the world they're going to be able to get this stuff passed. They need help on this. DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, is something that the Democrats are very determined to get passed, but Trump has put on a laundry list of bill killers, if not for any other word for say it, that are not going to happen. And then yesterday he has that mysterious statement where he says, oh, yeah, we'll put out a clean DACA bill. And even the Republicans at that point got wide-eyed and like, what are you talking about? Where are things? Because it seems more confused than cleared up at this point.
Really? You're stunned at the thought that things are, and I blame any disconnection earlier on net neutrality. I'll just throw that out there. That's probably what happened.
EGP. All right.
Okay. Well, here's the thing with the DACA bill. He doesn't care. I'm talking about the president. He doesn't care. He just wants the issue done. And when if you saw any of the video of that meeting, you've got these people who are making their points, and he sort of sits back at times with his arms folded, and then he's basically saying, you give me a bill, and I will sign it. And then when they say, well, what do you want in it? Well, that's not my job. My job's to sign it.
Well, and I think as well, I mean, it goes back to your CEO point from earlier about the fact that his schedule. I mean, he does want, don't bring me down with these petty details. You figure it out. And if it's good enough, if the Republicans tell me it's good enough and the Democrats are happy with it, I'll sign it and I'll look like the hero. There is definitely an element of that going on.
There's absolutely a huge element, because what he's doing is saying, just solve the issue. I'm tired of hearing about it. And then if his base gets upset, and boy, some of them have, he can say, well, blame Congress. Don't blame me. I want the wall. I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. They just need to pass it. And this is what's really staggering. Now, yesterday I interviewed a Republican congressman, and I sort of put the ball on the tee by saying, is this just a political thing because all of these folks will vote Democrat, right? And of course, he just dove into that and said, I guarantee you, if these immigrants were Republican voters, the Democrats would have none of it. And I said, well, what about your party then? If that were the case, would you have a different view? And he stopped and said, okay, that's a good point. Well, of course it's a good point. It's all political. Okay. And that's why this party doesn't want it. This party does want it. Politics are involved because they're different sides of the spectrum. But the fact of the matter is, you're dealing with human beings. You've got a president who just wants the problem to go away. He's not going to give guidance on it. And this may be the only way for these individuals in Congress to save their own necks, because folks are going to expect the Democrats to not just say no, and the Republicans need the guidance and the votes of the other side to get anything done. And, you know, this may be the one issue. Presidential lack of leadership notwithstanding, this may be the one issue where Republicans and Democrats can be enough coalition building to get something done, because it's in each of their interests, not the far extremes, but in each of their interests to actually get something done to address the issue with a human face attached to it, as opposed to some of these other disconnected issues.
Well, and I think there's enough Republicans, especially in the southern states, who the border wall is a no deal, the redoing of the green card lottery, that's a no go, the families coming over, that's a no go, especially in Texas. So yeah, I think that the Democrats and Republicans may just be learning the lesson, just let's deal with this on ourselves, on our own, and then just throw it to him and he'll just sign it regardless. So final note though, before you have to get going here, Fusion GPS, the data firm behind the Steele dossier, this is the opposition research against Trump, Christopher Steele put together for Fusion GPS. Their CEO testified last summer, basically laying everything out, a very stark testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Republicans were very hesitant to release this testimony, and now we know why. Dianne Feinstein did release the testimony in its entirety, and it's a doozy, basically saying that there's not only is the Russian connection there, but that Trump's finances are completely, totally tied up with the Russian mob, and there's a lot of money laundering going on. His golf courses aren't worth anything at this point, and that this is what he was finding, and he explained his methodology, what he did. He was there for 10 hours. It's pretty damning information when you look at that entire testimony.
Yeah, and the fact that he's trying to back away from it now doesn't make any difference. I think that the idea of the chair of the Judiciary Committee, my senator, Charles Grassley, saying that it should not be released, I think that's more of a protocol thing. I don't think he really minded ultimately, despite what he may have said publicly, especially now you got John Cornyn saying, hey, great idea to release this stuff. I think it was more of a puristic, distant sort of thing. The thing that's staggering about all of this is that there just seems to be no end. And that's the part where you just don't want the public to have their eyes start glazing over, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't really know what's been happening yet. And so if people are just tired of it because of the drip, 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 that's not going to serve us well going forward either.
The Floppy Show is the new book. Find it over at Common Good Books in St. Paul. It's going to be out here in just a few weeks. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us today and talk politics. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Matthew, be well. Thanks so much.
Take care. Thank you. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. We, of course, got Mike McEntee back today. He is finally back from Jamaica. Look forward to seeing him there. Thank you very much for joining us. Till tomorrow. See ya.